is it possible to mine more Bitcoins than direct purchase? And it really depends on the price. And it is possible still.
Hash rate up. Hardware sales, advisory, hosting, and site brokerage. Find new and used ASIC deals through the website and the Telegram channel below. Make smarter decisions with Hashrate Up. All right, welcome back to Hashrate Up, everyone. I hope you've had a good week. Today, I am sitting down with Mr. Kern, Stefan Kern, all the way from Austria. He is CEO of the Bitkern Group, a group that focuses on Bitcoin mining, largely focuses on institutions. They have a really, really nice website that I'm sure we'll link in the description. And their target is sort of the institutional groups. But I want to talk to him about surviving in the Bitcoin space and what it is like to build a business in the Bitcoin mining ecosystem, which is often very difficult. Before we get started, and we'll put Stefan on the screen. However, let's have a look quickly at the block height. Let me share my screen for all of those who are on audio. Now is the time to switch. Recording at, the block was just found, 934710. We're currently 220 blocks behind. This is a very historic time right now in Bitcoin mining, where I think we are going to see a total difficulty adjustment over the last 6, 7, 8 blocks of about 30 to 40% downwards, which is just below the China mining ban and historical dumps in Bitcoin price. I just did a focus episode on exactly that, the difficulty developments. And we are also going to look at hash price, which currently sits again in the absolute pain zone. Bitcoin dipped to, where are we? I think about $78,000. Here we go, $76,000. So now it's again below $35 per terahash, which is very painful, I'm sure, for many. And we are still looking at a historical difficulty adjustment of minus 14%. And we're about 65% through the epoch. So yeah, a lot of stuff can still happen. It seems like the hash rate from the winter storm has still not returned. But with all of that being said, Stefan, welcome to Hashrate Up. Thank you for your time and for being here. What do you think about hash price right now? Does it give you any headaches?
Hello, Jesse. First of all, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, I mean, every Bitcoin miner, when the Bitcoin price drops, when the hash price goes down, for sure, don't feel very well. But I think it really depends how you structure your business. And as you said at the intro, we are here since a long time. So at the beginning of Bitcoin, honestly, our business was really related to the profit related to the hash price, yeah, and the profit what we are making. But currently, the last years, we mostly have built our company in the direction of being a 100% service provider, which means for sure, even the Bitcoin price, hash price is low, there is less interest for people who like to get in. That's clear. But at the end, we make our margin. Yeah. So at the end, it's not so bad, but for sure, I would be more happy if the hash price would be a little bit higher.
So what do you do with clients right now, Stefan? Because I said you've been around the block. What do you do with clients who have older machines who might be just sort of on the brink of profitability? Because, you know, as a service provider, obviously you have to bake in, like you just said, your margins. They don't help in times of low hash price. They don't help the clients stay profitable exactly, right? So what do you do with clients like that? What's the sort of go-to strategy when they might be running, I don't know, S19s, S19J Pros? What do you do with them?
I think the best thing is do not accept them a few years before this situation is happening. I mean, better no deal than a bad deal, you know? So at the end, it starts by really sorting out which machines and clients you like to host at which location. At some locations, you have the possibility to run on spot pricing, to curtail, maybe also a little bit higher. So at the end, sometimes it helps to have a plan B that the miners run just 50% of the time, you know, for some certain periods of time, but you can reduce the hosting price for 1, 2, 3 cents to survive, you know, at that market. So it really starts about, and this is how you said, Jesse, it's when you experience in the market, you know, this is an industry when you come in, honestly, also when I and we came in, you know nothing, you know. So you really have to learn mostly on the hard way, you know, how are the cycles happening, this and that. And when I remember in 2017, yeah, we started 2016 with the mining, 2017 we founded the company. Back then we mined in Austria. So in the middle of Europe, which the energy prices are maybe not the best because there is a huge developed grid, which for sure brings you not the best ground for that. But we focused on hydropower plants and we had a direct line. But even they, producers, they like to get most out of their energy, you know. You're still comparing with the grid. The only thing you can avoid, yeah, some grid fees and this and that, which helps. But in the middle of Europe, the heart of Europe, it's really hard if you do not have maybe additional revenue streams like capturing heat or other stuff.
Yeah. So where you guys are mining, you said you used to mine in Austria for obvious reasons. That's not the case today. So where does Bitcoin mine today? Do you mine with partners or are these your own sites? And then also maybe explain to the audience where you think mining is going to go in the next 5 years. Where do you see concentrations?
Yeah. So after Austria, we moved to Sweden, 2018 to 19 in the US. The US is our main locations. We also had miners in Argentina, Paraguay, Venezuela, also in Asia, Africa, Ethiopia, Northern Europe, Finland as well. So Sweden for sure, as I said. But at the end, yeah, I mean, the thing is always you need to find the right ground for it. And it's also good to diversify. Our approach was always for our client, hey, don't put every egg in one basket. You have to diversify. That's why we really looked out. But I really can say after the last years that maybe these emerging markets are a little bit too tricky. You know, we have responsibilities as a service provider. We have to deliver. And currently we're going now a little bit more back to let's say, premium sites where we have more under control, where maybe there is not a huge regulation change or regime change or something. So our main market is Northern America and also Northern Europe. This is what I can say. Of course, the power prices at some jurisdictions are very interesting. But at the end, if you're facing some problems here and there, increased prices, it's not fun. It's not fun at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean, you're obviously hinting at the Ethiopia situation, and before that was the Paraguay situation. You know, I had a talk when we went
also
to
Venezuela,
Mauritius.
This is also another story.
Same. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Venezuela was always illegal, to my understanding. So that's a whole different thing, right?
Not always. We started really years ago, but then it went illegal. Let's say it like that.
Yeah. Okay.
And
okay,
then of
okay,
course we
enough.
Had
okay,
we had
so
to
you
stop.
Have Venezuela, then it's Paraguay, where all the they just make up import prices, and then Ende comes and changes contract terms. Now Ethiopia comes along and says, hey, miners need to pay more. And, you know, I had a chat, just a quick side note, in Mauritius. I was on stage at the Afro Bitcoin conference talking about this, right? And I was just highlighting how theoretically, if, according to my opinion, Ethiopia would do it right, you know, and they would just say, look, guys, we have more power than what we can do with. Here's a solid power contract, 3 US cents, you know, 3.5, whatever. You know, just situate right next to the dams. We'll give you everything that you need, you know, pure and regulatory certainty that you mentioned was lacking. Let's say all of that was given, right? And politics was playing the long game for once. They would be able to completely replace all their development aid, $5 billion in funding in 2022, with Bitcoin mining revenue from that power that they are not using. Right. But the problem is everybody's situated next to Addis. And back when it's like starting, right, back when everybody was starting in Ethiopia, it was a great thing to be very close to the airport. You know, our site is 20 minutes from the airport, 30 minutes from the airport. I'm like, hold on, guys, this is not a good thing. Right. Because that's where all the power is needed, you know, and if the power price is the same in the whole country, right? The power price at a stranded hydro dam, you know, 5 hours away from the capital is the same as in the capital, then that's a problem because, you know, power is not as abundant. So that is just a problem waiting to happen. And maybe I'm sure you have comments there, but I would also like to know, Stefan, where do you think today is the best pricing for Bitcoin adjusted for risk, right? Because everybody always looks at how low is the power price, but people don't quantify the other side of the equation. How high is the risk? And, you know, is it maybe worth paying higher for power if the risk is significantly lower? What do you think?
Yeah, and please let me just add one thing what you said about Ethiopia. I think in general, if you like to to look at emerging markets, I call it like that, then we have to think about giving something back, you know, to bring value there. Only then it's sustainable, you know. So I really like the approach which Penguin also did in Paraguay, you know, so that they trained people there. So we also were thinking about if we make more in Ethiopia to also do to make an academy, you know, making these and that. But yes, and you're completely right. So people like to be in the center, close to the airport and everything. And but the other thing is in Ethiopia, the whole country, it's not riskless. There is still a civil war ongoing, what I know, some more or less, you know, I'm not full in the picture, you know, I'm not a military specialist, but it's also risky, you know, to send people there, to be abroad, you know, so that's another story. Also, one question was not answered before. We mostly use sites for hosting with partners because we are so much diversified, you know. It's really hard to have a huge footprint in each jurisdiction. It's a lot of work needed, you know, legally, this and that. But we also have own sites, that's in the US. And this, coming back to the other question, to the latest, I think we see from a risk, you know, chance and a cost profile, the US is a good location. I would also say that Canada, maybe off-grid solutions with gas. And also, I still think, but it's much more challenging, Russia could be a good place also for gas offshore. And at some places where the energy is really the same as you said before, the energy is not needed in some centers. You need to go really, yeah, off track, yeah. I would say. Then it's also cheap, it's sustainable, but with all the regulations which are in Russia, you need the right partners. We, for example, as an Austrian Swiss guy, or, you know, if you go there, I think you are lost. You need good people always on ground. If you do it with your name, with your company, with a subsidiary or not, you always need good people, trustful people. And but I still think if you have good connections there, and I totally see that neutral, transparent, you know, not within glass that
political lens.
Yeah. So that I think it can be a good place for mining also in the long run. But I think for us Western people, we have most people and investors, what I can see, they have a better feeling when they look at North America. There can be something in Northern Europe. But it really depends. There is the energy tax in some countries. It's more easy in Northern Europe when you have a different revenue stream, as I said at the beginning, with heat capturing, then it would make sense. And really, the Nordics, NO4 region, Norway, could be also interesting. For us, it was very difficult to find the right partner there. Everybody knows the Bitcoin mining companies earns a lot, and they also like to golden their butt, some people.
Buying Bitcoin miners should be simple, safe, and fast. Altair Technology delivers exactly that. Based in the US and shipping directly from St. Louis, Altair eliminates all the shady messaging groups, customs and tariffs issues, and makes sure Bitcoin miners get to you on time. Altair stocks leading commercial ASIC miners, efficient home units, and all the critical parts you need, backed by real inventory, real support, and a team of people that you can rely on and actually mines Bitcoin. Thank you so much, Altair Technology, for supporting the show. And without further ado, let's get back to it. Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah. This is something that I struggle with, especially like in South Africa, people don't really understand Bitcoin mining. Yet there's a really big market for stranded power. You know, there's so much. I was just at the Adopting Bitcoin conference here in Cape Town where I live, and the amount of people that came up to me and said, hey, I got stranded solar. I know nobody that builds, you know, solar parks, and they're not being connected and this and that, you know. But as soon as you mention Bitcoin mining to people who operate them, you know, you can virtually see the dollar signs or the rand signs pop up in their eyes, you know, and they're like, ooh, Bitcoin, you know, must be a lot of money. Yeah. But yeah, no, I feel you. And what you said also, I totally agree with. Like, I often struggle with the fact of how to network into Russia, the Middle East, and Asia. You can maybe confirm or deny whether you feel the same way. But I feel like with my background, with how I was brought up and socialized, and the languages that I speak, it's a lot easier to find footholds, sort of Canada, the US, you know, even Latin America to me is very tough to sort of make connections in, because I just don't have that culture. And what happens with mining in Indonesia or Thailand or Vietnam, no idea, you know. And I'm missing that link completely. And then it's also about the customers, you know. Do customers want that? And can you, because that's at the end of the day, you know, we do very similar things. You just do them at a much bigger scale than me. Can you in customer, and can your sales team, in your case, can your sales team take down the level of felt subjective risk, right, to something that's maybe more bit more educated, and that's just way easier to do in the US. Yeah. Do you have comments?
I think the main thing here in that field is, as a service provider, you just survive when you have knowledge, expertise, and a good network. And I think our approach was always, you know, we are coming from Austria. We have the main, we have two offices in Austria. We have one at our headquarter in Zug in Switzerland, one in the US. But I would say we always focused on providing a good service. I mean, what we are doing is also, we have our remote technicians abroad worldwide, close to the sites. And we set up a process to service each third party site and own site, and to try. I have to say, I'm not really satisfied with the result, because I'm a Virgo, you know. Everything should be perfect, you know. But in the
same,
yeah, but in the crypto mining space, it's really hard. But it's good that you have a goal, you know, and you set your goal, and this should be a good quality. So we are developing each week, make things better. But of course, you know, when you are growing, and when there is a huge event, and there is a storm, and there is a regulation, and there is a ban, and you have a movement of 5,000 miners, which we have to done over New Year's Eve to another location, and this and that, there is always something happening, you know. But at the end, we try always to find a good solution for the client. I mean, we cannot cover, you know, lost profits all the time. Every provider would be bankrupt, you know, if you scale. But we always try to cover shipping costs, some other stuff. Sometimes we give some hash rate from us, you know. We really try to build up a long-term relationship with the client, and to see it in the long way. And I think this is also different to other service providers which came up in 2016-17, also in the middle of Europe. By the way, nobody is here anymore. We always saw it the long way. Do everything by law, you know. And yeah, I mean, you said also about Middle East. The last years, for me, sorry to say that, in the Middle East, mining Middle East, you need to be careful, but especially UAE, they're all cowboys. So nobody cares about where the power come from, if it's illegal or not, or gray, or this or that. And so nobody really take a look at the facts, you know. So
yeah, no, it's not just that, you know. When you speak to people like and from the UAE, when you talk about hosting, oh, they're selling you 2.5 cent hosting rates, you know, to sign, to be attractive on paper, but then the capex is 500k, right? And you think, okay, but you don't really own anything, right? If the client now comes in and says, okay, here's $500,000 for transformers, which the company doesn't own, the government owns, right? Then okay, container, labor, discovery of the site. You don't own the container, the company owns the container, right? So what are you effectively buying what you're buying is cheap power, right? You're spending all the money up front, and then you have a lower price after the fact because you basically prepaid for a lot of the electricity.
But Jesse, and do you have discussions? Do you know how much the government is paying for their energy? They have huge operations in the UAE.
I don't know, maybe a cent?
No, much more. They pay much more. That's the thing. So, and these cowboys are paying 1 cent or 1.5 or 1.3. Do you think this is legal that every guy who likes to mine in a country pays, I would say, 30% of the power price that the government is paying? Just think about it.
But are they not using the agricultural tariffs still across
yes,
the board?
But, like but the special tariffs for the farmers? This is not how the government is dealing with it because it's not legal. It's not allowed, you know? So at the end, as you said, they're using agriculture tariffs. I mean, if it's everything sustainable by the law and you found a way to use it, yeah, but... they found out recently they started to cancel, or let's say that you are not allowed to renew the mining license. So I know that a lot of people decided to go to the UAE, you know, which we spoke as well, clients from us or potential new clients. And recently, especially the last few months, they came back, the site is offline. We have miners there. Are you able to host them? So it's always the same.
Not your machines.
No, I mean, it's their machine.
Now the machines are dusty and dirty.
Yeah, same. We experienced this from the beginning all the time, each year. People, they said, no, I like to go there. We told them this is maybe not the best thing. You know, we are not a wizard, you know. You cannot pay 1 cent, 2 cents, 3 cents. Yeah. What we are offering is reality. And if you have quality service in some premium location, it costs a little bit more. But then you know what you get. Everything else is gambling, if you ask me. Yeah.
So for sure. I completely agree with you. You know, and as you think about it, it's a very I like to think about my business decisions very egoistically, right? I tell my clients very clear and straight, look, I am interested in you being successful so that you come back to me and then we do business again down the line. I'm not in it to charge you 30% margins on the machine. Because then I know you're not going to be happy 1 year in because you're going to realize I'm never going to make the money back and I'm not going to go back to Jesse and buy another miner, right? And it's the same thing there. Yes, you can go there, right? But it's risky. And you, again, we were talking about the regulatory changes earlier. That same thing can happen and it sounds like it is. So, you know, I've gone and visited farms and they look great, you know, for being in 50 degree heat. 50 degree outside temperature Celsius, right? And you're like, what the hell? How double water curtains, you know, inside they're mining with 25 degrees, you know, they're trying to keep the humidity down for the corrosion. Anyway, what I never really understood is that dynamic, and maybe you can explain it to me. On the one hand, it's okay, the government says it's illegal, you know, you're using agricultural tariffs for not an agricultural purpose. But then on the other hand, it's, you know, it all happens on Sheikh land. All of this always happens on some Emirati's land, and therefore they're seemingly untouchable. That's always the story, right? And then you can think, okay, well, the government can make it as illegal as they want. You know, if the Sheikh is untouchable, it doesn't really matter if it's illegal or not. What do you think? Like, what's the relationship there? How do you explain this to clients?
And also like to add one thing. I would not like to put everybody in the same plate. You know, there are always exceptions. But I know that there is a lot of people around which I think they're not professional in what they're saying. You know, they're telling you everything what you like to hear. But not everybody is like that. Yeah. And what I'm also, I would say, a little bit, I cannot hear it anymore because everybody's the best friend of the Sheikh. Everybody. I don't know. So for sure, there are some people who have good relationship. For sure, they are on a Sheikh's land, you know. But I also got in the last 3 years so many huge pitch decks that everybody is doing on Sheikh land 200 megawatts.
Yeah.
But so far, the farm is not here, you know. So for me, there are two huge legal Bitcoin mining entities in the UAE. This is what is fact. One is 02. It's ADQ government backed. It's official. Vermera is doing a JV. And there is also the Phoenix Group, where it's also well known that there is a local sheikh involved. Yeah. Also as a shareholder, I guess. I don't know. But this is what people are telling all around. Yeah. So they are doing legal mining, but mostly, I think, all for themselves. I don't know if they really offer hosting services there in the UAE. I don't know, honestly. But then there are a lot of service providers. For sure, there may be one or two who have also good connections and try to figure out things good. But there's they popped up, you know, also in the UAE the last years.
Yeah.
And let's say then there was 30 service providers. And I cannot believe that all of these 30 are the best friends from the sheikh. That's the first thing. And I mean, yeah, it's tricky. For me, it's high risk. We looked into it. We hired also a legal agent there, attorney, you know, in Dubai. We checked the law, this. We also made site visits in Al Ain, where the most sites are in Abu Dhabi. And we checked it. And at the end, it was too risky, you know, as you said, to put money in or down for capex. And then maybe you mine 2, 3, 4 years or not, maybe 1 year. Maybe then it's over. And if you have clients like we are, you know, and you know you're going somewhere where it's, you see it, the chance that it can fail is just say maybe 50%. It's huge. You cannot do that, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe some people are mining there for a few years. Maybe not. It's...
At the end of the day, it also comes back to you. No matter how much you warn of it, always tarnishes your brand. And then we're back to what we were talking about earlier, right? About the sort of risk adjusted pricing. If you do, you know, 1 to 10 machines in the UAE, obviously they're not going to charge you capex. So then sort of the real price for hosting is maybe $6 is what I've seen, you know, maybe on occasions in the middle fives when really nobody's buying. But then what I say to my clients is like, look, you can mine for 7.5, 7 cents or whatever in the US. And you can start with one machine, and then you have to think, is it really worth the 2 cent difference to go for that amount of risk? I think not, you know, and then I let my clients decide.
We went also to very risky locations, Venezuela, for example. It was clear that this is high risk. We never have sent new generation miners. It was only maybe used ones from the US. And we only, and most of our clients only had exposure of, let's say, up to 10%, 15% max from the whole allocation in mining they have with us. You know, you can diversify, yeah? And that's also the thing why it's good. Nobody knows the future, you know? Nobody knows how the country is reacting in 3 years. If there is an energy crisis like Kazakhstan, it was a main location, right? Everything was good. And then it started boom.
Yeah, and then the government realized, hey, we can actually not afford these subsidies, so how about we blame it on the Bitcoin miners? Yeah,
and it's still the same. I mean, there are some possible ways to do it legally sustainable in Kazakhstan still, but it's risky and tricky. I know a lot of people who locally
there. It's too expensive.
Yeah, it's, you can do it maybe when you are a producer. You know, energy producer. I heard this lately that you were allowed to use 70% of your own produced energy for Bitcoin mining. But anyway, you can also sell it, you know, and maybe you pay less offshore.
Yeah, no, this is exactly right. I'm just thinking, and I want to ask you about two other topics. It's always the same story, you know, how much, if you want to diversify and you want to go higher risk, cool. But then the power price has to match that, you know, and in Ethiopia, it doesn't. People are, you know, if they go with certain providers and they're still paying $6, $6.50. And then you can say, okay, I'm diversifying the jurisdiction, right, between maybe the US and Ethiopia. But your blended power rate doesn't reflect the additional risk. because then it's still, I don't know, maybe 6.9 cents or whatever. So yeah, and then you talk about, okay, you know, where do you host? And then at that point, and it gets really narrow, like what I advise people to do, the choices get really narrow, because also now hosting is, you know, not easy anymore. And you got to really know what to do and how to expand the lifespan of your machines and how to keep them financially sustainable, even in 4 years from now. Because making your money back is difficult in hosting, right? But people do it. So, and I know before we spoke, Stefan, you told me you guys have hired a bunch of new people. You've grown a lot in 2025. So, you know, what is your business looking like today? What's your trajectory? And then maybe also tell people a bit about versus a make or buy. You know, what do you tell your institutional clients why to start mining? What's the pitch?
BitX, solomining.de, got it. Premium, made in Germany. You want to go fancy? Go for NerdX or NerdQX++ for a lot of power. Worldwide shipping. Check out solomining.de today.
That's a good one. So honestly, I'm happy how everything developed the last years. I mean, it's a challenging industry market, so we always double our revenue the last years. But at the end, you mostly focus on the necessary things. Yeah. But last year we also really cleaned up a lot of, you know, we invested in the infrastructure of the company. We hired a bunch of new people, because also myself was really working very operationally in a lot of departments. And it's also not the job from the CEO, you know, on the long run to do that. But it's also good to know what's going on, you know. That's the thing. If you bootstrap if you made everything by yourself, it's good. Our company never got $1 investment or something from a third party. Everything is nice. Organically grown. So this year our goal is, I mean, on revenue, 100 million. So,
wow.
But at the end, the margins are low. But we invested a lot. So, before the records, I told you that we hired really a lot of people. We doubled our spending in 25 compared to 24. So we also doubled our revenue, but at the end, the profit was less. But I see it also on the long run. We need to be better, you know, in certain areas. We invested a lot of in our technical infrastructure, development. We hired a few developers. So we really like to make everything to make it more turnkey for the clients. Everything, you know, out of one hand, more transparency. We also launched a new product, which is really unique, if you ask me. It's called Bitcoin Lite. Before, we served professional investors. It was our normal service, hardware and hosting. Now we call it Bitcoin Pro for the professionals. And Lite is more for retailers, you know, which are new. But we never touched this 8 years long. Why? Because it needs to be a product which is, let's say, it has to run, you know, low maintenance. You have to deliver. Yeah. And for me, you need to be big to be able to do that, you know. So, and we really structured a product which you have an uptime guarantee, which you do not have to pay any repairs for 3 years. And this is great, you know, because your miner is always running. Why are we able to do that? Because we have a huge fleet as well by ourselves, you know. Of course, you need to make some calculations. It's also not easy. But then the client is happy, you know. He buys the machine. He's online the same day. And then you have an uptime guarantee. You can choose also a low uptime tariff, which means if the Bitcoin crashes to 50 grand now, he can choose, okay, instead of 6.9 cents, by the way, Jesse, 6.9 cents is not a bad tariff, right?
It's not very good.
It's a good tariff for a retail entry product. And at the end, and there is no hidden fees at all. We do not like that. Maybe the prices look in the first perspective a little bit higher, but there is nothing which come on the top. You know, there's no shipping, no custom fees, nothing. And the client can also switch to a lower uptime and then pay instead of 6.9, just 4.5. and he can switch.
Yeah, can you see my screen? I'm sharing it right now.
Yeah. Mm. And he can switch back and forth between these tariffs on the dashboard, you know, which is really a great thing. The other thing with the light is we do not charge any security deposit. So all your money go okay. here into. You can pay in crypto, you can pay with credit card. And what we launch also in the next 2 weeks, also with bank transfer, because when you get a consultation with us and you book a meeting call, you get also a tailor-made offer here for Light. We call it Light Plus. Then you can also pay via bank transfer. So we really try to cover the full range now. At mm-hmm. the beginning, it was more the institutional. So let's say it was more the professional. The institutional, we sure. try to do, but honestly, we spoke about that also at the beginning, it's not so easy to get them in. We had a meeting 7 years ago with family offices. The thing is, they really need to believe it. Then if you ask yeah. me, a family office who invests in Bitcoin mining is a family office which should minimum hold Bitcoin. For a few years, you know. And the thing why yeah. someone should invest in mine and not in Bitcoin is, if it's an entrepreneur, for example, you can also write off the investment depending on from where they are yes. coming from, the different jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. They can write it off in 1, 2, or 3 years, so they have a tax benefit. Yeah. I think this is a huge thing. And the other thing, we also made huge calculations for institutional investors to see, hey, is it possible to mine more Bitcoins than direct purchase? And it really depends on the price. And it is possible still. In the last 7 years, there was some areas. It always depends when you enter and when you get off, for example, yes. you know. And there was some periods of time where mining was better than direct purchase. But of course, yeah. it's not always the time, and it really depends. It depends on the conditions, for sure.
Yeah. And so would you say, just a few quick questions on this. You said you hired engineers. Are they mainly tasked with the website, or what do they do?
Developers. I mean, they also, we have in the backend huge dashboards, developments. We have our own CRM database, okay. ticketing system. Everything is now, let's say, own made by ourselves, a central database which is connected with everything. So there's a lot of things coming in the okay. next weeks this year out, a new homepage, new services, everything. Also, all our people inside Bitcoin are working from a central system. We call it Nexus, Bitcoin Nexus. From Nexus, each department is working with, and it also goes out to the client, to the dashboard. All the pools are connected via APIs. Also, billing, accounting is mm-hmm. connected via API. DocuSign is connected via API. Everything is connected, and which helps, yeah, you know, when enough. You scale.
No, of course. Okay, and then one question also on here: How you said you're working mainly with power providers or with hosting providers in the back end? How do you make this work that people can just very flexibly choose which power rate they pay? Because at the end of the day, you know, I mean, the service provider is interested in you guys as the client, you know, consuming as much power as possible, because that's where they make their margins, right?
Yes. But there are still some jurisdictions worldwide. I mean, here, honestly, at Bitcoin Lite, we decide where we place the miner. At Bitcoin Pro, okay. they can choose. Everything is transparent. Here, they buy the miner. You have the ownership. You have the right to have a renewable option on the hosting. So it's 3 years fixed plus renewable option. Then you have an option that we send the miner back to you, or we buy it back, or you can upgrade for a new model. But this is always okay. tricky to say what is the best. We need to see how is the market, you know. Maybe it's yeah, worth sure. it to renew it for a fifth year. Maybe not. Maybe it's better to sell it, you know. So we all have yeah. these options here included, and we just choose some sites where we have the possibility to lower the uptime or get a better tariff, you know. And that's also the thing. We are selling here not an S19K Pro, also not, for example, an Avalon 12 series or something, which is cheap on the market now. We are selling more new gen with the possibility of the second tariff. On the long run, for the next 3 years, I see that there is low risk that they are not profitable, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, there is always a risk. But yeah, this is what we focus on. Yeah.
And then would you say, Stefan, one of the last questions here before we enter my favorite part of the show, the rapid fire round. Would you say right now is a good place to buy machines? A good time to buy machines? Or would you say, meh, it's, the conditions are okay?
I think it's a good time. Maybe not the best. It's always hard to say, you know. When the price drops, it takes a few weeks, a month, maybe two, when the hardware vendor, secondary market, and also the main manufacturers see, oh, less people buy it, then they drop it, you know, the prices. So it can be better. By the way, we're also launching a Bitcoin mining report, the quarterly, very soon, where we also give a barometer if it's now a good time to buy machines or not, or to wait, to be very transparent, you know. Also some insights, how we see some markets. I think this is a good thing. And for sure, there are some months, a year, maybe it's better not to buy and wait. That's the truth. We all know it.
Yeah. So no, like, I'll give you my opinion, right? So I think 2 weeks ago, when Bitcoin was still at 85, a good place to buy miners, right? Now, today, at 76, I have to spend significantly more Bitcoin to buy the machine, right? So my opportunity cost in Bitcoin is a lot higher. So now my ROI, because at the end of the day, I want more Bitcoin when I mine. I don't want more dollars, right? Is a lot longer. So whereas, you know, a week ago, I was very dead set on today, you know, buying machines and deploying them, hydro
but
machines.
But if you have the tax
life,
benefit, for example, life, you know, it's different. You don't have
the thing is
to get more Bitcoin, maybe.
In Estonia, the problem is I don't pay any tax on revenue.
Okay. That's good for you.
So that's that's good for me. Yeah. But I'm losing out on that benefit anyway. All right. So rapid fire rounds. I need quick answers. This is mostly for the shorts, for the YouTube shorts content, for all of those out there with very little attention span. Most overrated narrative in Bitcoin mining right now. Maybe the UAE play. What's very overrated, do you think?
I just wanted to say that, UAE mining. For me, it's overrated,
All right. One mistake you see repeated every cycle or very, very frequently in Bitcoin mining?
There are so many. I mean, all the mistakes what people can make in mining.
Oh, name them all.
Let's say, especially when the market is high, people pay too much for hosting and too much for the machines. And after the market is really overloaded, it went down, and then you maybe never get an ROI. That's the main thing.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, fair enough. So last but not least, if you had a choice, Stefan, between only ever acquiring Bitcoin through mining or only ever being able to buy it, so you would have to choose forever mining or forever buying Bitcoin. You can only do one of the two. Which one do you choose?
I never do one. I always say split. When someone says what is better, directly mining or buying, I always say do both. I would never recommend a client just mine. Honestly, it's maybe against my business, but I know it. You know, it's fair. It's always good also to buy it directly. And we never know maybe what is better for the next 3 years. Of course, you can make some assumptions, but you never can really say it 100% certain.
Yep, fair enough. All right, Stefan, thank you. Tell people where to find your business and how to do business with you.
So at the end, if you're interested in our services, just reach out through our homepage and we're happy to guide you. Yeah, very easy.
All right. Cool, guys. This was Stefan, CEO of Bitkern, a Bitcoin mining hosting provider from Austria. Thank you, Stefan, for your time. It was really insightful and did those 40 minutes felt like 20. So that's always a good sign. I hope you guys learned something. You know the deal. Follow, like, subscribe, all of that good stuff. It helps me show my sponsors that this content is valued. See you next week. Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you.